Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Chromecast. My name is Joe, joined here today by Robbie.
Just me.
And no Gabriel. And I forgot to turn the light on. Flip that dude on.
Professional.
This is super professional. We have a slightly different desk setup today. We are
a little bit different.
We are raised up
elevated
desk with bar stools.
We're elevating the game.
Not necessarily bar stools, but they're bar
they're
stool kind of height.
Stools.
Yeah.
Like they would go to a high top kitchen table.
Yeah.
It's kind of we have these stools at home.
Uh-huh. And it's kind of comfy. I kind of like it.
I like it.
We've talked about getting like the, what are they called? Like drafting chairs, I think is what they're called.
Yeah, they're
like,
kind of cool.
They're like desk chairs, but then they have like the little circular area on the bottom where you can rest your feet. So anywho, I forgot to turn the light on. Gabriel is out. He's dealing with a sick kiddo, unfortunately.
Never fun.
And hopefully everything works out. But no Gabriel today, but we got Paul, we got Dan. I mean, we're going to rock and roll.
Yeah.
And we were took off last week. I was out of town. It was the week of Christmas.
Gabe and I were like, do we want a podcast? And I thought about it and said no.
And then I was like, nah.
Nah. So we usually take 1 week off. And I was like, well, we'll take this week off instead.
And next week will be a little bit. It's kind of interesting with Christmas and New Year's both being on the weekend.
This is a weirdo.
And so it's made
like bizarre week.
And I was out of town all of last week. I went on vacation. I was soaking up some sun down in the Florida Keys.
We're up here with record freezing temperatures.
Yeah. I was swimming in the ocean.
Yeah. Just swimming.
The ocean was a bit chilly, but it was still. I was able to get in and swim around. It was great.
Stop talking.
But then once you lay down on the beach, you would warm back up. Mm. It was pretty nice.
Yeah, rough for you. And then you got delayed, and it's like, oh, I have to stay in Key West for an extra day.
It's pretty rough.
Oh man, gosh, heart goes out to you, buddy.
I know.
It must be so difficult for you. It was hard.
Oh, it was really
man.
Hard. So idiot.
As I'm throwing eggs at his house.
Yeah. Yeah, I got home. My house
is
covered.
They're freezing midair.
Yeah. It's like, and they're stuck on there permanently now. I don't know. It's pretty bad. But.
We've come out of it. It's not that gross anymore outside. But God,
yeah,
last
it was,
week was not fun.
I got to miss some of the worst of it, which was nice. But yeah, we decided to take off that week. Guys kind of spent some time with family. I was gone and back at it this week. So as we're wrapping up 2022, we thought it would be fun to look at our top five most viewed articles and most viewed videos. Yeah. Most read articles, most...
Yeah.
I guess they're still page views.
Yeah. It's interesting to think about that kind of stuff, too, because like when you pull those lists up, it's like, oh, wait a second, what now? And maybe that's an indictment on us. Maybe we should do this more often. But we also, we try to tend towards... writing and creating content that we're still passionate about. So
100%.
We don't want to get stuck in the hamster wheel of, let's repeat.
Right.
I think that's a lot of creators and publications get stuck in that that rut.
You're just looking at how to make another buck.
And I'm just like, I'm just not interested in that. Now, I mean, obviously, if we see some stuff happening and we got to make adjustments. We're going to make adjustments.
Yeah.
Just the way it is. So like if we're writing about something and it's just completely not doing anything for a while.
Sure.
Got to figure out something else. It's not always about scratching our own itches, but
For the most part,
sure we're doing that.
Yeah. We're still a niche blog and we're definitely, we're bloggers, right? Like we're not diehard journalists out here.
Yeah, I mean, my last two pieces I published were very much just opinion pieces.
Yeah.
1,200 word
essays. And those
essays.
Are fun. Yeah. And they're fun. And
they resonate. And you know, people like to read that kind of stuff and really think, because most people, frankly, don't have the time to sit around and think through some of this stuff. It is what it is. And then they don't really have the moments to think about that stuff. And it's our job to think about it.
Right.
And it's my bent to think about that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. I liked your article today. A tablet with the 1380.
Yeah, and I've got another companion piece I'm going to write about. I think,
or even the 1200.
Yeah, I said both of them in that. I think both would be fine.
1000 series, just one of those.
A tablet with that, I think, also could be the first like legit. Like Michael gets so upset about inking on Chromebooks, yeah. and for good reason. Like yeah. if he, you know, he sketches and draws too, so like he's mm-hmm. he's expecting a little bit more from it. And for me, I don't even think it's good enough to even take notes with at this point for most Chromebooks.
It's frustrating.
It's not great.
Yeah.
And so I imagine, you know, his frustration's way beyond what mine is with it. And I really do think that the same argument that can be made towards, like, let's make more tablets. I think a tablet with one of those processors in it
yeah.
would make for the best tablet inking experience that we've had yet. Because anytime I want to test a stylus, I always test it on the Spin 513. It's got that high-end Companio in it.
Yep.
That's got a good screen and a good digitizer and stuff too. But the mix of that chip, for some reason, just does a great job with stylus input. Like mm-hmm. it's really good at USI stylus input. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, imagine that in a little 12-inch tablet that I can just hold and write on. I'm yeah. like, that would be really nice, wouldn't it? Anyway,
Adam later. King, in my interview with him, didn't say explicitly. He just said he was excited for the future of MediaTek processors and detachables.
There have to be.
I mean, it would make a lot of sense. Obviously, the original 500 or 8183 in the Duet was obviously a great success for them, and there was a ton of those devices that were out there in the market. So let's get some of these higher-end ones.
Yeah, I mean... And that's the thing. I don't really want to like say, well, it'd be okay to get like the 828, but the 828 would be really good in a tablet too. Like it was a really good processor in that one Chromebook that showed up with
mm-hmm.
it. You know, I want to see obviously MediaTek processors and more Chromebooks across the board,
yeah.
but you know, they're higher end chips because they've got a new, they haven't released it yet, but we've tracked it internally as the MT8188. And that's going to be a bump of that mid-range processor, like something like that, or hopefully one of the high-end chips mm-hmm. in a tablet it would be just so good. I went back and watched a section. I don't want to, this will be the last thing I say. this will tie into our list here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I put the review of the Lenovo Chromebook Duet 5 in my piece because I talked about it as being this really great overall experience of a tablet that you could actually kind of replace your Chromebook with.
Yep.
And, you know, the only thing for me, and this was before I rewatched the review, I was like, it still is not quite fast enough. It's good. It's better than other tablets have been. It's just not quite fast enough. And I went back and read and watched that review, and that's exactly what I said back then, too.
It's like, right.
It's great. It's just for me as a daily driver, it can't be the thing that replaces my Chromebook because under load, like when it's hooked up to a second display and you got all your stuff running, it was just a little bit too slow for that. And so it's like, okay, well, iterate that thing. You did with the Duet 3. So the Duet 3 was this perfect iteration, I think, of the Duet. Like it fixed almost every flaw the original Duet had. The Duet 3 is, I called it that back then, and I say every time I pick it up, I'm like, it is. It is almost a perfect sequel. It's not a perfect Chromebook. It's just a perfect, like, talk about taking every single little thing and going, yep, fixed, 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 yep. fixed, fixed. Okay, we'll take the Duet 5. You know, give us a, leave it at 13 inches, you know, sure. 12 and a half inches, something like that. We'll go to a 16 by 10 or 3 by 2. So you're roughly the same size.
16 10 could be
not
nice.
Not quite as.
What are iPads?
They're, I think they've gone to 16 by 10, I think. They used to be 4 by 3. No, they're 3 by 2 now. I'm sorry. They're 3 by 2. So that's what the Pixel Slate, the original HP X2 tablet. To me, the original X2 tablet was one of my favorite form factors for tablets. Like it was the exact same screen basically as a Pixelbook, except I could pop it off the
Intel
keyboard.
Chip, right?
Yeah, it was the M8. So the same thing that was in the Pixel Slate. So it was kind of a pre-runner to the Pixel Slate. Keyboard was absolute trash on the bottom, but the tablet itself was nice and thin, and I really enjoyed that. So I'm like, go back to something closer to that. Mm-hmm. And keep it 13 inches if you want to, because I mean, the iPad's a 3x2, 13. Or what the big one, 12.9 inch or something. It's 13 inch,
right?
Big old thing. People are fine with it. They really are. Like, and you know, if you're going to make a bigger tablet, at least square off the screen a little bit. But I want you to keep the width because that was what made it nice in the lap. But that's a small thing. Like, keep the OLED screen, keep the quad speakers, update that processor with 1380 or 1200 Companio chip, and then send it out the door.
Yeah.
Like there's not a whole lot more you need to do with this thing. Like it's already attractive. You know, the kickstand, the keyboard work really well. Like, I mean, you could update the keyboard a little bit, but you know, keep it in that same price range. Like all the things they've done with it already are already great. And mm-hmm. I know Snapdragon chips are expensive. So They could probably go to a higher-end MediaTek chip for about the same price, keep it in the same price range, not change a whole lot from the formula, and just iterate that thing and bring it out. But we have zero. No, I was looking again just today. Nothing. I got nothing. Unless they figured out a way to hide it from me. I have no signs that any detachables of any sort are on the way, which
is so weird. But
it is. But the main way we find those a lot of times is the code word for the keyboard. So maybe they figured out a way to take the, because Hamer has been the code name for the keyboard
the detachable keyboards.
Gosh, yeah, I think what was the first detachable thing? I'm trying to remember now. I don't remember what it was. That was not included in that, whatever
Slate
that one
was. Slate the first?
Yeah, Slate had its own keyboard. It was Whiskers.
Yeah,
but
I remember that.
Hamer was developed right along with it.
Right.
And then ever since then, Hamer's been the keyboard for literally everything. They just make variations of that board. And so it's usually you can go look, and if you see a new, add new variant of Hamer, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then the names even go with the baseboards a lot of times and stuff. Like Homestar is the name of the Duet 5, and its keyboard is called Star. You know, like, those are the code names that go together. There's no code names right now. No new Hamer code names. Yeah. But they've added the Vivaldi keyboard, which is like the drivers and stuff, the technical bits that make it to where, hey, a manufacturer can add special keys as they see fit. That's part of the Hamer keyboard now. So maybe because of that, they could just take the, I don't know, I feel like you'd still have to make a baseboard for the detaching keyboard. I feel like you would, maybe not, I don't know, but it's a bummer because we've got some really good mobile chips coming.
Yeah,
you've got Alder Lake N.
They'll start showing up.
Snapdragon Gen 3, the MediaTek stuff. There's plenty of great processors now that could go in and power these really thin, really light tablets, and there's none on the horizon, which is really, really a bummer.
Adam said he was excited about the future. Now that's them as a chip manufacturer saying, hey, we think these chips would be great in a tablet. It still is on the manufacturers to actually
say we're going to do
them and make them.
The only one I could see, like, it makes no sense for them not to do something else would be Lenovo. Like, they've just clearly had success
these
making
duets
these tablets.
They've been great. So
but you know, it's only been 15 months since the Duet 5 came out. So I could see maybe, I don't know. You think it'd be at least in development at this point, so that in 6 months at a 2 year point, we'd have another one, you know, sometime in the fall, but nothing yet. We'll see.
We'll make sure to link that article. But all of that to say, we like writing content that is interesting to us. And we do follow, obviously, some trends and things that are going on in the market. Yeah. But we don't necessarily hey, this is our top articles. We're just going to keep writing those types of articles.
Right.
You know, that's just not our style. Before I get to that, though, I was pulling up we'll do the articles first.
Okay.
Or do we want to do videos first?
Let's do articles.
Do articles first. Yeah. Before we dig into those, we have a giveaway that is ending very, very soon. So if you're listening to this the day we put it out, day after we put it out, you're going to have a very short window to go get entered to win if you haven't gotten entered to win already. But we've partnered with Rakuten to give away $250 straight into your Rakuten account. So
just free money.
Free money. You just got to go sign up.
For just
shopping, getting cash back, getting some promo code. Look at you. This is
dribbled coffee all on the table.
It's delicious coffee, fresh roasted coffee, but
I don't know what to do with it.
just rub it into the felt.
I'm just going to hide it right there until I did not put the felt on it. I'm not doing that. I'll clean it up when we break.
Just like a little kid, just wrap your sleeve on it.
I had a dark shirt on. I'd be like, just didn't
don't mind me. But yeah, this giveaway is going to end at the end of the year. So at midnight, December 31st, at 11:59:59. Pacific time. I wrote down PT. Yeah.
I was say, it's New Year's somewhere.
Yeah. But obviously all of the details are linked down. We'll link the giveaway and just click down in there and you can scroll down to the giveaway widget. They use Gleam as well. So you can get all the details. I think Gabe even put a little disclaimer below with all of the details. So go get entered to win. It's just free money. And thanks to Rakuten for partnering with us on this one, giving our readers and listeners some cash.
Yeah, always awesome.
Very cool. Okay, top articles. Let's start at five and work our way up.
I haven't looked at this list yet. So.
Okay,
just gonna hear and react to these.
So oh, this is a screenshot. Hold on, let me go actually over to WordPress here. Okay. So number five, how to download and install Apple iTunes on your Chromebook.
I'll be darned. That's one of those articles, and you know, we always look at, you know, statistics and stuff like that, and it, you know, we try to look at SEO, and it, we think about those things. When I said earlier, we write what we want to write.
Yeah.
It's true, but you know, sometimes you sit down and you're like, I don't really know what to write today. So you need some tools to kind of help
with that.
And that's just one of those ones that came from that.
Yeah.
You know, we saw that there was this huge search volume for installing iTunes on
a Chromebook.
I'm like, who uses iTunes anymore? But you know,
apparently,
I'm one of those people that went, like, as soon as I could stream everything,
right,
I got rid of libraries of anything.
Right.
I don't own any physical music anymore. I don't own DVDs, any of that stuff. I sold them all off.
Right.
And it's like, I'm just, for better or for worse, I'm lassoed to this whole idea of streaming content. If the internet goes down, like, permanently, I'm so screwed, like, across the board. Like, I just am in a bad spot. But, you know, that's just, I'm not going to carry around a bunch of, like, the idea of having digital downloads and, like, that I only have on this one device that I'm going to try to use somewhere, like, feels so foreign now to me.
Yeah.
But apparently a lot of people still do this exact thing. And so there are ways.
Right.
It's weird, but there are ways to do it.
Yeah, I mean, and like for those that are, you know, in the Apple ecosystem, they have an Apple Watch, an iPhone, everything. Obviously, there's maybe a reason.
I'm gonna go counter to what most people think I'd say, and just go get you a MacBook at that point. Like if you're that deep in, like I don't know what to tell you.
They can't afford the ridiculously priced MacBooks. They just want to get iTunes.
Go find you an old used one or something. I don't know.
So. Gabriel wrote that article December 1st of 2021. So we're just doing total page views for the last year, this entire year. So this was actually an article written.
It's just been chugging for a year.
And it's just been chugging right along. So number five, how to download and install Apple iTunes.
High five to us. We got evergreen content going.
Yay! Something we've been working on. Okay. Number four. Pixel Buds Pro dropped to their lowest ever price and are now worth your attention.
Wow, really?
Yep.
I mean, I knew that article did well, but so geez, Robbie, that was just a month
Robbie,
ago.
Robbie wrote that October 31st of 2022.
And, you know, I've been looking for that deal to hit again.
I know.
And it never did.
And it hasn't.
They're still $200. As soon as they dropped to $150, I was going to go jump on them again. And
Did you end up ordering some at
$150? Yeah, I got them for... No, I ended up getting... Gabe had a couple of those referral credits to the Google store.
Ah, right, right.
He let me have one of those, so I used it on... I got those for my wife.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's 25% off. Like, that was a great deal.
And at $150, with the new updates that the Pixel Buds have gotten, I'm super happy with them. I want a pair for myself. We've got some floating around the office. We've been passing around and stuff. I'm just like,
I took them. I took them on the trip to Florida, and they were great.
And I've got so many earbuds. Like I don't need them.
Yeah.
I just.
But if you can get them for $150,
I got the Pixel Watch. Got the Pixel 7. Might as well.
Yeah. Might as well.
Let's go
be
all in
the ecosystem. Yep. Just be in the ecosystem. Okay. Number three. I knew this was going to be up here. I didn't expect it to be number three. Play Google's The Great Ghoul Duel. Great Ghoul Duel game for some spooky but cute Halloween fun.
Was that this year?
That was written by Mr. Michael Perigo on October 31st. So that's interesting. Two articles.
I remember that because it was like, Halloween, and it went for like a week solid.
It was a week
after
solid.
Halloween, and people were like, yep, still going to do this.
And... It's just one of those that
perfect example of this whole like you can look at data all you want. There's no data that would have pointed to that article.
Thought it was fun and cool and wrote it and boom, it went crazy.
And it's why we continue to write the way that we do.
Yeah,
that just seems to prove itself over and over again. It for a lot of people it makes them uncomfortable because you can't say, hey, I clocked in today and did XYZ and I know it will give me this result. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just swing and miss.
Yep.
That's the way it is. But yeah, that was an interesting article.
Number, what are we on? Three, right? Are we on number two?
Three, yeah.
Yes. Number two. Oh, that's, I knew there was going to be another deal in here somewhere. The $79 Chromebook that's absolutely worth buying. Gabriel Brangers. August 19th.
At some point, that one came back up again, and I wrote it again, and it did well again.
It did. I mean, I think it was it. Did it go on sale for $99 at one point?
Yeah, it and like because that's the Flex, right? Mm-hmm. Flex 3. Mm-hmm. Well, the 3 and then the Lenovo.
Well,
Chromebook 3,
I think it's just called the IdeaPad Chromebook 3.
Yeah, and so then there's a Flex 3 that's basically the convertible. Both of them were $99 when I wrote it.
Yeah,
And it did really well then too. Not quite this well, but. For $79, there's something about seeing that in the headline.
It's
you're
so
gonna
nice.
Get a laptop at that point. And a decent, who cares how dumb it is? Right?
Like just have it. Just have it around the house or keep it in a backpack. And it's just your little.
It's a little beater.
Beater. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you. I was like, beater device.
Yeah, it's something for the kids. It's something to just have around. I mean, it's you need to take something quick on vacation and not worry about breaking it. Like. For $79, it's ridiculous that you can buy a laptop for $79.
I remember this from the article. He said, "Is it Best Buy right now for an outrageously low price of only $79?" You read that correctly. $79 for a Chromebook that's actually
dumb.
Worth buying.
Yeah, and it's not
crazy.
A bad Chromebook.
Yeah,
like of the cheap Chromebooks, it's probably my favorite one of them.
Yeah,
and so like, it's really cool. I mean, and we're going to talk about a little bit of CES stuff later, but. What Lenovo's got that they've already at least said. It's one of the few things that we know is coming to CES that we can actually talk about. Their entry-level Chromebook that they're going to introduce is, again, it's going to be one of those ones. It's like, wow, this is thoughtful.
Right.
You know, way to go. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break for an ad, and we're going to come back with number one. Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. We recommend the service, and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunboxed.com/Nord, N-O-R-D.
Alrighty, welcome back, everyone.
Coffee's cleaned up.
Coffee is cleaned up, and we're ready. To move on to article number one
Numero
of 2022. We've already talked about it. I was going to say, do you know what
it is?
Best.
Yeah, we know. I know.
I feel like we definitely have known for sure.
I feel like we've talked about this
while.
On this podcast before, too.
I think we have.
A couple times, just the oddity of
yeah,
this one.
Yeah, if not, we'll dig into it here. But this article is actually no more on the website.
Yeah.
It is a redirect, but the article is called How to Use Chrome Flags for Experimental Settings, written by Joanna Romero.
Yeah.
Flags. And it's cached in Chrome here or in WordPress here. But she wrote that on February 21st and it didn't do anything crazy out of the gate, but then it just kept getting page views and kept getting page views and kept getting page views.
We were like, cool, evergreen.
We were like, great, this is what it means. But then we noticed that it was really high page views, but there was no revenue tied to the article.
No, which is not good. It's not so much like, oh, it didn't make us money, so we got to fix it. It's not that. It's like that kind of traffic can have detrimental effects on a lot of things. And so
other parts of the site,
yeah,
for sure.
So we were a little concerned because it kept staying that way. And it wasn't like, oh, it's a little bit less money than other articles are making.
Like,
it was completely in the basement. It was the worst revenue that we've ever seen on an article
that has
that kind of traffic. And so we started to get really concerned about what that meant, like what kind of traffic is this, is it bot traffic, you know, it's like because it's articles just don't do that normally. Mm-hmm. And so that became a year-long thing of dealing with that article basically.
and shout out to our, you know, our advertising vendor for helping us try to figure out some of this. There were some colleagues that I was reaching out to trying to figure stuff out, trying to see what was going on with this article. It ended
bizarre.
Up being a lot of traffic from a different region outside of the kind of North American traffic that we normally see. We get some traffic from Australia and the UK, but it is a small percentage compared to our US traffic.
Yeah,
and this one just it went crazy and not surprising to see it at number one.
No, not at all.
It had a lot of page views. And we ended up kind of rewriting it. Gabe rewrote an article.
Yeah, so
we'll link that one.
Yeah, we completely pulled that post down and republished, and just to hopefully get it into the index and then get the other one out, so that odd traffic would not be continuing. And so it's calmed down now.
And it's so I don't know. This is just a little glimpse into the digital publishing world, but there's so many variables that go into what we do. We have obviously created a bit of a formula that works well for us and for our audience and for the people that are interested in reading our stuff. But there's several variables at play here, and it's hard to really like pinpoint certain things. Yeah. Like if there's an issue going on with a particular article or a piece of content, it's sometimes really difficult to pin it down and be like, oh, well, it's this, because it could be a Google algorithm. It could be an index issue. It could be a advertising issue of some sort. It could be because of the geographic location of the traffic. There's all these different factors. Right. So like not surprising to see that one at number one.
Not
so just
shocked.
For kicks and gigs, since that one's kind of one that it's not on the site anymore, we'll go down and throw in one more just as a little bonus, a little extra. All right, so that's how to. Okay, so then number six, if we wanted to throw in one more, is T-Mobile is offering the Pixel 6 for $99.
Yeah,
that was written
deals.
That was written by Gabriel Bringers on February 10th.
Oh wow.
So
a while back.
Yeah. So deals are just one of those things. I mean, they can garner a lot of traffic. Our audience, you know, we have definitely tried to deliver the best deals in the Google ecosystem and tried to stick on that. So that way, if you are in our deals newsletter, you're getting stuff that's interesting to you. And we don't write any and every single deal. Like we write the deals that we think are valuable.
Yeah. And that are special. Like if it's, $10 off a Chromebook.
Yeah, like we don't write that sort of stuff. So
when it's like, oh, this is an exceptional offer. Like this is something cool, noteworthy. We put it in there. And so,
this one, wow, that's interesting.
Our deals newsletter has really, really grown.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people subscribe to that. And so
pretty bonkers. Not super surprising there to see that one. Just one more, just because we were talking about it. The one right below that by not many... Let me check that. Yeah, not many page views behind that one is the near perfect Lenovo Chromebook Duet 3 is on sale for the first time ever. So there you go. Duet love.
Deals do really well.
They
really do. They don't always do best in like the money making category.
No. Not.
You know, but.
Because a lot of times people are on the page, they're looking for the deal, and then they're clicking it, and they're off.
Yeah. Just kind of the way that works.
Yeah, but, which is fine. Again, that's where we. You know, we are fortunate that we've been able to grow this brand and do it, you know, sustainably, where we don't have to be so stressed out. Excuse me. It's still there.
It's coming up.
Pardon me.
It's coming up.
You know, where we can do the stuff that we want to do,
right?
And not have to always chase too much. And so, the deals are maybe not like an incredible moneymaker for us, but we feel like they're valuable to our readers. And so we write them.
At the end of the day, that's the most important thing
for us. That's number one.
Let's provide value to people that consume the content.
So. Yeah, that's number one. All right. So there you go. That's top five articles
plus
on
two.
Chrome Unboxed. Plus two on chromeunboxed.com in 2022. Year in review. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. So number five on YouTube, our most viewed videos. Again, these are just cumulative views. This is not necessarily article or videos that were published during this time period, but just cumulative views. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. Number five on YouTube. How to run? I want the whole title. I wanted to read the whole title. Look at that! I click it and then it does that, and I
can't
read it.
Good job, YouTube Studio.
I think I remember roughly. It's just how to run Chrome OS Flex
on something. Here, we can tag team this here.
Yeah,
let me get YouTube pulled up.
It was either on old PCs or on something. Can I not click? I want to just actually click into the video here.
You should be able to click the play button.
Analytics, it's a little weird.
Oh, analytics, that's no way. Here we go. So
I think it's on old PCs, I think is what it was called. Yeah, none of these are working.
Technical difficulty.
Pardon us.
Let's see.
How to run Chrome OS Flex on what? I was going to pull them up.
There's a lot of Chrome OS Flex videos out there. I guess I should have searched Chrome Unbox to see. Nope, that's our other Chrome OS Flex video.
Yeah, Chrome OS Flex is...
Here we go. How to run Chrome OS Flex on your old PC or MacBook.
Ah, yeah. And that was basically a quick rundown of how to get the USB stick set up. Yeah, and it wasn't a full how-to, I don't think.
That one was.
That one was the full how-to? Okay.
So we did a couple different things with Flex. So the first one was, hey, here it is. It's a thing. We want to just talk about the idea of Chrome OS Flex and what it is. So we did a video about that. I believe it's on the top five, mm-hmm. if I remember. And that was more, we didn't show how to.
Chrome OS Flex turns your old laptop. We'll see.
Right.
We'll
that was almost like news kind of thing. Like, hey, it's a thing, it's here, and let's explain what it is.
Right.
And then we said,
why it matters.
We'll do another video on the nuts and bolts of walking you through, because it's hard to
thumbnail too.
It's hard to do both of those things. Mm-hmm. Like if you're wanting to explain a concept to someone and then be like, also how to do it, like, it's two very different pieces of content. So we split it up into that. And we wanted to make the how to so that we could just reference it anytime we needed to.
Right.
Hey, there's a video.
If you want to go see how to do this.
Yeah. So we don't have to talk about that every single time we talk about Chrome OS Flex. And so we made that video and it did pretty well. Like, it was, I feel like it was on the back end of the Chrome OS Flex, like, hype train that happened for a month and a half. But you know, for a how to video, it did really well. We also did, installing Chrome OS Flex. We did the one with the Surface laptop now pretty recently. So
that was a
it hasn't
new
had
one,
time, to do that kind of stuff. Cheers. And I don't even know how well it's even doing, to be honest with you. But you know, The other one is right there, so I'll leave that just pulled up. But my other video, I thought I saw it in here. Yep, there it is.
Yeah, there it is.
It's at almost 40,000 in a month, so it's trucking along.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did a video and turned a Surface laptop SE.
The Chromebook killer.
The Chromebook killer. We turned it into a Chromebook. I used it the other day. Worked for
me. Did you? Nice.
Yeah, just out of curiosity. I want to... I think maybe we'll do a video about that. Mm-hmm. You know, working from a converted Chrome OS Flex device.
Because it's
nice.
And there's some cool stuff we could talk about there that we talked about with the folks at Google in kind of the Flex Lab about all the little things that come up, right? Hey, I'm using this device, I need to print, or I need to do this, and all the little stuff that comes up. Like, can you actually work from this device?
Right. It's not enough for it.
And I think the answer is yes, but it'd be fun to explain that.
Oh, look, it's running it. Well, that's mm-hmm. that's fine. That's like Steam right now, I feel like, in Chromebooks. Like, it boots up, and it does it technically, but I've yet to have a gaming experience where I'm like, wow, this is great. I enjoyed this. It's always, there's always hiccups, and it's still early for Steam. I'm not dogging on that on Chromebooks. But, you know, I'd much rather pull up GeForce Now and hop in and actually play and enjoy my time. But that was the same way when it first came out. It was this fun thing that we would log in and be like, look, it's moving around.
Cool. Yeah.
Look, there's no lag. Okay, next thing. And now with these gaming Chromebooks, I'm starting to use that service on a very regular basis and realizing, like, since Stadia and all that stuff started, this has come a long way. And it's not just a novelty act. Now it's this thing that's actually usable. It's a daily thing. And so Chrome OS Flex has gotten to that point now, I feel like, in devices that we've messed with it on. It's not just hey, look, it installed and it booted up. It is 100% usable, and it needs to be that in order to be taken seriously. And it's a serious product. Like, I think it has more nascent potential than most people think.
Yeah,
I think it could be like a Trojan horse situation down the road, where they could basically
the application
deploy
for it.
Chrome mm-hmm. OS all over the place in a lot of places. Like, right now, that's not their goal. Clearly, it's not, but.
It's more of a solution to a problem that people are having, where it's like, we have these old laptops, like, we don't want to keep
throwing them into a landfill,
trying to update them or throw them away.
Right.
How can we maybe do something with them and have people continue to use them in workplaces or in call centers or whatever, And so it's a solution right now, but it could be more of a proactive thing in the future where hey, this is what we're going to do. Right. We know this is something that's coming up.
It's very interesting.
And obviously some of our YouTube community is interested in it as well. So we'll talk about the other video here in a second. Number four on YouTube, Lenovo Chromebook Duet 5 review.
Which is awesome.
Not super surprising.
Told you we'd come back around to it. It was top of mind for me this morning. But yeah,
it's got a very good average view duration, AVD, if you hear YouTubers talk about AVD.
I watched that one today, and you know, kudos. That review, you know, I just write a script and talk, you know. So the review turned out really good. Like, yeah. Be frank, you know, when I have to go back and watch a review, I try to get to the point. I'm not one of those people that can't stand hearing myself talk.
Yeah, but it's like, it's strange.
Yeah, you're just like, I spent a lot of time writing this script. And did it. Like, I got it. Like, yeah. I don't need to rewatch this for enjoyment. And that video was enough. Like I sat there and watched almost the entire review. I didn't even need to.
Yeah, it's
I got
engaging.
What I needed. It was a really good, really well done review, and it's one of the first ones I think where we're like, let's start getting narrative about it.
Yeah,
let's like slap the specs up real quick at the beginning. It's like, but here's the story. Like, here's why why
does this thing matter? Right. Like, what matters about this device?
And so it seems to have resonated. Plus, it's just an interesting device. That God, I hope they make a second version of sooner rather than later.
Like we were saying,
Give me 16x10 screen and a MediaTek processor.
Throw a 1380 MediaTek in there, Companion, and let's get cooking here. I don't remember the full title on this one, but coming in at number three, Steam Gaming on a Chromebook is here, I think is what it was.
Yeah, that's all it was.
So that was just an announcement like video, basically, where we were just like, hey, it's official.
Once it finally launched and we said yes, we clicked it installed. We're not just in how to.
Mm-hmm.
We did a separate video for how to.
It was a how
again.
To set it up. Yeah.
This was just, hey, it's actually here, and we've run it, and it did launch. And that's from what I understand, a lot of things have been fixed over the course of the last little bit. But you know, they added 12th gen Intel hardware later, so the initial testing was on 11th gen. So to be fair, most of my testing personally has always been on 12th gen stuff. The GPU is just way better. So when it gets there, it's going to be there. And for lighter games, it's been fine. But when I've tried to I've tried to install Apex, it didn't even get started. Because that's, you know, that's like whole compatibility layer it's going through. Plus it's in a container and it's like,
it's
all these things that have to be overcome to make those Windows games work. And now they do. I played Apex on the Steam Deck just fine. So compatibility is fine. I just think what it's spitting out on the other side of that compatibility layer has to be better dealt with the Steam container on Chrome OS. And so it'll get there.
Yeah.
They didn't say it was done or ready or anything like that. So we're all just testing.
Still testing, being
test dummies.
Still testing. Okay. Number two, we mentioned it just a moment ago, but Chrome OS Flex turns old laptops into a Chromebook. I remember it's so funny.
Chrome OS turns old laptops into fast Chromebooks.
It's so funny. Like you've maybe heard us talk about this before. You've heard other YouTubers talk about this. Like titles and thumbnails are becoming more and more important on YouTube. I think they've always been important, but the algorithm is really rewarding great titles and great thumbnails. And at the end of the day, when you put something out there into the world and all these people have all this content to watch, a great thumbnail and a great title is going to get somebody to click it. So that's really what it boils down to. So, I mean, it's good to have them, but we spend like extra time on them now, whereas,
I think we're still in the spot where that matters a lot. I think some of these guys that have
massive
10 million subscribers,
like Peter McKinnon put out a video the other day that was just overwhelmed was the title. Like, you know, like some of it just for those folks maybe doesn't matter as much,
right? They can do kind of some basic stuff, let their audience basically
create the organic
push, the algorithm for them, and they're fine. And I don't want to say we're to that spot at all, we're not even close to that, but you know, we're approaching 250,000 subscribers, you know, and so we have enough of an audience that helps no matter kind of what we put out there. It's going to get some eyes on it versus when we first started. Sometimes we'd put videos out and, man, they would just tank.
Yeah.
Do nothing whatsoever.
We're past that.
But we still have to be very thoughtful. Like if we want to get new subscribers and pull in new people and we do like constantly have people like, I didn't know you guys existed. This is awesome. So,
And some of it too is like always trying to innovate and stay ahead of the curve and you know, try to stay on top of what is happening with YouTube and what's happening with the algorithm and everything. So, Anywho, that video did well. Not surprisingly, I think there's a lot of interest around Flex, and I feel like the videos that we have out now, kind of like we have this trio of videos now that I feel like we've covered what we need to cover. We might do some ancillary videos that are maybe assistant on Flex, or like trying to do certain, like using Flex. Like there's some other videos that we could do. But we're going to take a quick break for an ad, and we're going to come back with number one. Stay tuned. Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. As promised, number one on YouTube for Chrome Unboxed in 2022. Got a new Chromebook. 10 tips to get you started.
Just going to forever be number one.
It has of our top...
How many views does it have?
Of our top 10, it's number two on our average view duration. The only one that was better in average view duration was the Lenovo Duet 3 review. It had 35% or 4 minute AVD. It's getting close to 2.5 million. It's just one of those that clicked somehow for us. And again, we don't really chase stuff. We've
talked about, like, how can we do more stuff like this? And the stuff that we do like it, it's like,
yeah, I mean,
it doesn't quite do that.
Well, and it's like, we put out helpful, useful stuff. Like, right. It just, that one for some reason is resonating with our audience. And actually, I mean, that one, if you click in, and this is true of a lot of our content. I mean, it's like 80 to 90% of our views are non-subscribers. So if you're not subscribed, please go subscribe. but yeah, that video just for some reason has just continued to get views. It wasn't super viral. It wasn't like it got a bunch of views right up front. Mm-hmm. It's just continued to get views month over month. So that video has been out for 3 years, and it was our number one viewed video again in 2022.
Yeah, and I mean, it's helpful. I've watched it back just to see, like,
is this still relevant?
Do we need to change this? And all of it's still good.
Still relevant.
Which is,
and I think
that's
part of it. And it was very structured in that we were like, here's what we're going to do. Step number one, here's this.
Right.
Step two, like, it's very straightforward. And I think we've tried to pull some of that into our content. But that's just not, I mean, I don't know. At the end of the day, like, we just like making cool videos, and we like making videos that are helpful and informative to people, and that's what we're going to keep doing.
Yeah.
And hopefully another one catches and goes crazy. Yeah. You know, there's some in this top five that have done great this year. And so we just, that's what we're going to keep doing.
We went like out of our way to try to make a more viral type video.
And it didn't do anything.
Yeah. You probably remember us throwing a Chromebook off the roof.
Yeah. Which was still a cool video. It was super fun to make. It was a lot of work. But it's still informative. Like, it still has a point to it. We're still creating beneficial content. It was trying to be a little bit more, have a little bit more virality.
I'm checking to see. There we go.
I'm curious.
26,000.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, our video about Flex is, well, what was the one you said just a second ago that had 40? Yeah, the Flex. One,
yeah, the latest Chromebook turning the Microsoft.
Has more.
So there's quite a few more in a third of the time.
Right. So it's just, I don't know. It's just one of those things. Do we have it all figured out? Absolutely not.
No.
It's not like we are gurus and know we've figured out YouTube. That's certainly not the case.
No.
But we love making videos, and we like putting out cool content, and we love writing articles. And so this was fun. This was fun to. Yeah. This was something kind of impromptu. We were trying to figure out what to talk about today, and I was like, "Hey, let's."
Final week of the year is not real news heavy.
There's not a ton of news, and so we thought this could be fun to kind of go through our top five on each and just, a little year in review.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
That was fun.
Okay, let's talk through next a little bit of CES 2023. We are heading out next week. We are going to be in Las Vegas
Monday.
Next week on Monday, and we're going to be there all week. And I still can't quite wrap my head around that. I've traveled, and then Christmas, and then New Year's, and then we're going. I don't know.
And CES always feels like it does this, but I feel like it's a little earlier than normal.
Yeah,
because the way the weeks fell.
Right.
So I think they usually go for, hey, after New Year's, we'll give it a week and then go.
It's like aren't we out there like the 6th, 7th, 8th or like something like that?
And so it pushed back a little bit, and the way it just overlaps, it's weird.
Like it's New Year's and then we're there.
Yeah. I mean, celebrate New Year's, and then we were flying out the next day. So, but super excited. There's obviously a lot we can't talk about.
Sure. And for those that don't know, we get a lot of embargoed information ahead of the event to where we can gather information. We can put together articles.
Get a schedule together.
Get a schedule together of what we're covering, what's important, what's newsworthy, what's maybe not newsworthy. And we can help, you know, as media, we can, you know, have a better idea of what we need to go do and not just run around like crazy. So
to put it professionally, we can assist manufacturers in disseminating the info.
That's right.
I like that word, disseminating.
Disseminate, that's a great word.
NFL uses that word.
Mm-hmm.
The pictures and or whatever may not be disseminated.
Disseminate.
Like, a great word.
Ooh, good word.
Love that. But yeah, so we know for the most part, there's a couple things that when we get out there, we will see that we won't know about,
mm-hmm.
That we can't even talk about those for weeks after CES. So those things are still surprises. We don't know anything about those.
Which is so fun.
I love that. Those I like so getting fun. To walk into a manufacturer's booth and then be like, look at this.
What is this?
Like, oh my
check
God.
It out. Look at it.
You know, y'all are making this. Mm-hmm. This is great. So having embargoed info is cool because we know what to expect, but then being surprised is fun too.
Yeah.
But almost all of that we can't talk about.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, this will be, we will have more content coming out of this CES that is Chromebook and Chrome OS related than we've ever had.
Ever before.
Before.
Yeah.
Which is really cool because CES has been a bit of a weird thing for the last few years.
Yeah.
And even before that, it felt like it was shifting slowly away from being a like normal consumer electronics and like it, the car part of it was kind of taking over. I'm sure
which
be
now
of,
we're seeing like, I remember the first, one of the first CES we went to. You know, it was a lot of electric vehicle stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, the year of the Mach-E announcement. What year was that? Yeah, the second year we went. Huge announcement, like, mm-hmm. and we were going around looking at that stuff. And now you're starting to see that trickle out into consumer, you know, spaces. And so it is cool. Like,
you'll probably see less of that specific type of automotive tech at CES because it's not cutting edge tech anymore.
It's going to be
electric vehicles, not cutting edge anymore.
Yeah,
it's
going to be all the connected stuff. I think like more of the connected vehicles where it's this 5G connected car that is driving through the city and getting all of this information. Cause like that was, I don't know, last year there was some stuff about that. I think that'll continue to be a trend.
The automotive space is still in dire need of, you know, full disruption and it's, you know, Tesla kind of did that a little bit.
Sure.
You know, and there's all that argument of, you know, it's electric cars with all the carbon footprint that goes into making them. Is it even helping the environment that much? I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably not. I don't know. But I think, you know, the advent, like electric cars in general are just really fun. They're really cool to use. And, you know, as the really, I think you're at a choke point right now with it, with the charging networks. Like once those are fully fleshed out, which I think will mean probably a little bit of a incursion from onto the turf of standard gas stations. But they should have all the incentive in the world to do this. I mean, your normal gas station you go to they don't make their money on gasoline.
Nope. It's all the stuff in.
I don't even know if they make any money on gasoline. It may be a fraction of a cent or something. Like they're not making anything.
It's you going in and grabbing
walking
some
in
stuff
and getting and some road beers. Not really. You should not get road beers.
Some snacks. Yeah, don't do
snacky,
that.
Some snacky poos and some sodies.
Right. Some yoo-hoos.
Yeah. Get you a yoo-hoo. Get you some gum. But yeah, I mean, and you see places, you know, really investing in that. Like we have a racetrack that just opened down the road from our house. And
it's like,
it's a really cool, it's silly to be like, wow, it's a neat gas station.
Yeah.
But as a place to stop, the food's great. Their coffee's great.
It's open. You can walk through there. It's not like this crazy, weird, crowded. Like, ugh, like
it's so fantastic.
Yeah,
like
great.
Quick Trips for a lot of you that are down south. Quick Trips are awesome. Thornton's are the same ilk. Wawa down in Florida. That kind of like it's this idea that hey, if we make this a place people want to walk into, we're going to make more money instead of it just being a necessity almost. Because like a nasty gas station, you don't want to go in there. You know, you'll go stop somewhere else. And so anyway. All
electric
I have to say,
vehicles.
Like, yeah, electric vehicles need, you know, gas stations like that to say, you know what, we have gasoline, but around this back, we have
these charging stations.
20 charging stations that work with the majority of cars.
Yeah.
And so that's where we're at right now that I think is causing some of the problem with it. But eventually, I mean, there's so many upsides to electric vehicles. The fact that you have a motor on every wheel gives you basically all-wheel drive on most vehicles.
Instant torque.
Yeah, instant torque. You have, you know, you get in the winter and you know you got right now you got to wait for your car to warm up before it gets warm.
Yeah.
Wrong. Not with an electric vehicle. You got to wait till your car warms up for it to get cold in the summer when it's hot outside. Nope, not anymore. You don't need any of those things because when you turn it on, it's on. Like there is no warm up. It's just on. It's doing the thing it needs to do. And so there's a ton of benefits to electric vehicles. Not just, you know, hey, I feel good about myself for making the earth greener.
Right.
I mean, it's not going to be bad for us to stop, you know, polluting the air with exhaust. Again, you can argue that
it's a long-term thing.
Yeah, I think once they figure out how to make all of these things in ways that are more efficient, you know, then all of a sudden, if the production of these cars doesn't cause such carbon emission, then yes, then it's a net win. But it's clearly the way things are going. And, you know, there's more trunk space in them. There's just so many cool upsides to it. They just need, the charging network needs to be better. Yeah. But that's not something you'd see at CES. Like, they're going to be like, hey, you charging stations. Like, that's not cutting edge consumer tech. So it'll be interesting to see. Like, I want to walk through the automotive section of the showroom floor just to see, because they'll always do. They'll always be the handful of concept cars that have some crazy whatever going on with them. But, you know, like, automated vehicles that eventually start driving themselves, and where there's a fleet of automated vehicles that there is no, like, there's an emergency driver handle or whatever, but the majority of it's, you know, the seats face each other and everybody sits in there and has a talk and you know, Minority Report style, and you just kind of float through the city and be really cool. That stuff is interesting at CES.
And there's like there's obviously TVs galore.
And TVs, just like, keep,
the TV stuff at CES is
the backlighting,
the new
things
quantum,
get smaller.
Quantum B
Neo LED QLED fossil. Jargon's out of control.
Do you remember? Well, I think, I don't know if that was CES or an NAB that I was at, where like 8K was the big huge thing and everything was 8K. I think it was in an NAB. I was out there with the Switcher guys, and I made some funny social media videos of me walking up to these big huge signs that say 8K, and I walk up to the booth person and I'm like, so what resolution is this? They're like, it's 8K.
So I did see it. I was shopping. I got a small television for my daughter for Christmas to keep in her room for like Switch playing and stuff like that. So I was shopping for TVs, not really, but looking for like, here's a reasonable sized, you know, 50, 45, 48 inch, something like that television to put in her room. That's not going to cost a fortune, but still looks good. I don't want to buy a crappy picture, but it caused me to go into quite a few television sections and actually be looking versus just kind of walking by them. And I saw a couple 8K, but they're, I mean, they're huge. They're, you know, 80 plus inches, which need to be. I mean, honestly, I think even 4K at that size from it's a like, couple feet away, you can't discern a pixel. So it's like, I don't know. 8K seems like a IMAX theater problem to me. Like, not
a home television problem.
Yeah, even a large wall sized projection. Like, we have a projector in there, a 4K projector for our simulator, and it's projecting, I think I measured it 11 foot corner to corner. Like, when you stand 5 feet from it, you can't make pixels out. Like, it's the resolution's just too high for that need. So I don't see 8K like doing a whole lot anytime soon. Because even in a 100-inch TV, 4K is fine. And guess what? There's no content in 8K.
Yeah.
Like, nothing. Nobody's making 8K content because it's an absolute bear to deal with to begin with. And, but, you know, I saw an 8K television and it had, you know, some stock 8K stuff. And, it looks crispy. But I'm like, there's
the 4K stuff
right next to it
too,
that looks just as good. Like, I don't, what is the point of this? Like, I'm going to pay more money for all these extra pixels, and I have no hardware that pushes that. There's no content that pushes that. Who cares if you have that many pixels? What good is this? This is a stupid thing. It's like 3D televisions. Like, I remember when those got foisted on us. It's like, no.
Do you remember, like, going to Best Buy and, like, I remember the one on the one in Louisville that had like the little back corner room of like all the TVs, and it's like all dark in there. You go in there and go in there and watch the 3D TV stuff.
And it's just like, are we really going to pass out 3D glasses every time we sit down to watch television? Like, it seems weird. And of course, no one did that.
No one did that.
3D content was, they tried, man. They,
yeah,
they,
oh yeah.
All the corporate people decided, like, this is the this next is it. Thing.
This is
and
the future.
They were completely wrong.
Yeah. Sometimes that happens.
I'm hoping that's not the case with electric cars.
No, I think it's...
There's a little part of me that feels that way a little bit. Like, sure. They're trying to really push it on people, and I'm just like, if the pushback's too strong, man,
right.
Y'all have invested a lot of money for right. this thing to turn belly up. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, get your charging networks.
Yeah.
Figured out.
Yeah,
like, that spend fix, your money doing that.
A lot of it, yeah. So, obviously, we've been briefed on some things. So, I'm trying to think of a way that we could do this. We've been briefed on some things. So we know some of what's coming, but... What would be some of the things you are most like, what are some of the things you would love to see at CES, or like, what's the future of Chromebooks look like, and what are you hoping to see at CES?
Well, let me start with one thing we do know that we can say, and that's Lenovo's, they announced it at a pre-CES thing, you know, and the embargo lifted, and I kind of forgot about it. That was how, like,
a lot going on.
Nonplussed I was with this yeah. thing. I was just kind of like, yeah. oh, okay. And it's a Flex 3, 3i, you know, IdeaPad Flex 3i. And I'm like, okay, cool. New entry-level Chromebook that next year we'll be writing an article about it being $79. Yeah, yep. That's what I thought. I didn't do my due diligence, didn't really pay attention to it enough. And so the embargo lifted and some people wrote some articles about it. And I'm like, I need to go back and look at this again. I clearly was not paying attention, you know, and it's going to be coming in with, it'll be one of the first Chromebooks, or the first Chromebook announced with these new N-series Alder Lake chips. So Intel's doing right, away yep. with the whole Pentium and Celeron stuff. So you have Alder Lake, which is 12th gen Intel stuff. These are Alder Lake N chips. And so it's going to be an N100, N200. That's it.
So the... Okay, so then the naming structure now, so what will the...
Just like Intel N100.
Okay, huh.
That's what it is.
Nice.
12th gen N100. So if it has an N in it now, you yeah. understand it removes the big cores out of those chips.
Right.
Now, that's not to say the small cores that are in and a part of the 12th gen chips are like weak or lame. Like a lot of times with ARM chips, we get the smaller cores are really efficiency cores. They're there to do the background little tasks and stuff like that. Not the exact same with Intel stuff. So Alder Lake, like core series chips have, you know, big cores and small cores. Well, these are all like quad or octa-core, eight core, you know, small core chips. And so it's an interesting thing to see, like, because we don't know what the performance will be like, but we've been kind of waiting for these for a little bit. I didn't even know exactly what that meant. We saw, like, I wrote stuff about Alder Lake N, like, what is this going to be? And a little bit more efficient, mobile, you know, Alder Lake, a different version. Because remember, we had 8th gen, you had the M series of 8th gen processors that were very mobile and
like in the fans. Slate,
Pixelbook Go
yeah.
had the M series. And it turns out that's not what these are. These are the replacement for. So the last one we had was Jasper Lake. So Jasper Lake, I think we're 11th gen. And so the small core Intel chips were always kind of set aside. And it was hard to match them up sometimes to the big, you know, the Core I series. You always know this is the generation. Here's the code name for them. And the other ones are just kind of like, I don't know. It's still Jasper Lake. I don't know what that means. Like they're okay.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. But the Jasper Lake was a pretty big jump over Gemini Lake, which came before it. And so I'm hoping to see another big, because it's been a little bit, to see a nice generational leap here. Because Jasper Lake got us really close to the point where I'm like, these entry-level chips are fine.
Are getting really
for,
good.
Yeah, for Chromebooks. Like, they're enough for most people to do most things on a Chromebook. I feel like these could get there. And so I'm super excited just to see the performance level on it, on this Lenovo. But it also has a 16x10, 300-nit screen.
You did it
for a $350.
Congratulations!
Thank you. You know,
the world's best cup of coffee.
I've only been bitching about this for what, 2-3 years. You know,
yeah,
and just, I get just, it on a $100 Chromebook.
Right.
Nobody expects anything.
Right.
But it's going to start. I think MSRP is $350,
right.
And that's fine.
Yeah, for
an entry level Chromebook, $350 is a good number. But stop putting just absolute terrible screens on
displays.
You know, they could have gotten away with a 250 nit screen here. Nobody would have complained really about that. And I think once you get into the 400 plus, it needs to get up to a 300 nit. So now you got 16x10. So it's not just 16x9, 16x10, 12.2 inch screen, full HD plus, and it's 300 nits. So
right.
You're gonna have a nice panel on an affordable Chromebook. Lenovo always makes nice keyboards. So I'm not really worried about the keyboard trackpad, and their smaller Chromebooks tend to still be pretty like firm. And you've got, you know, I think it's going to come with, it might be a 4 and 8 gig option. Mm-hmm. So there might be some options with 8 gigs of RAM and these new processors. So I'm like, a lot to be excited about, actually, right. For these. It's got a little speaker grill up top above the, you know, like, it's a cool looking little device. Yeah. So from when they said something about it, I was like, okay, whatever. You know, to now, I'm like, I can't wait to go get hands on this thing. Mm-hmm. Other than that, if, you know, I can tell you that I don't think, you know, I know we already said there's not. There's not going to be any detachable devices. Yep. I would love to see that.
Wish we were lying.
Or I wish something went undetected. Maybe
something, and there was something under embargo that we, but that's not the case.
It would be cool. There are a few things that are going to get shown to us that we know. We don't know what they are, but they're going to be shown to us that we can't even talk about till later than CES. So never know.
Most likely not.
The other trend I would like to see, and we don't know this stuff for sure. No, well, I don't think I know this stuff. No. I want to see some convertible Chromebooks. If that's what we're going to stick with, then we're not going to lean into the tablet thing. Okay. I want to see some convertible Chromebooks like the Pixelbook, the original Pixelbook.
Yeah, sure.
Squared off, symmetrical, so that when you flip it around in tablet mode, you got keys.
It's not just
back,
a usable.
But it's closed up and it's.
Yeah, it's not just a usable convertible. It's like a nice experience convertible.
Right. It looks like it was built to do that.
Right.
And we just don't see that. Everybody wants to slope their laptops, you know, so when it's closed, the edges slope away so that it looks thinner and all that stuff. And I get that. But then when you flip it around, it looks like, you know, the ends of a loaf of bread flipped around. So that's what it feels like. And nobody likes that. Nobody wants to hold that. So I would love to see something like that, you know, something considered, in a convertible. And I would like to see some more all-in-ones. Mm-hmm. Again, this isn't giving anything away. I want to see more all-in-ones. Like, HP needs to follow up the...
Right over there.
We're
using it to cast right here. We use it for how-tos.
What is it called? Is it just the Chromebase 22?
Chromebase 22.
You know, but it's the spinning screen. Whatever.
It's a nice trick. But the cone is really nice because it has great
fantastic
speakers.
It looks great. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks fantastic.
Gets it enough up off of the desk that you kind of get this.
Gives you your adjustments and stuff.
Yeah, you get a nice adjustment. And you get a nice, like, kind of ergonomic where it's up off the desk a little bit.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That all-in-one.
More of those would be
100%,
nice.
Yeah. Throw an Alder-like thing in there, 8 gigs of RAM, get some extra storage.
Done.
Don't change anything else about it. Maybe give it a Quad HD screen.
That would be dope.
Because you can pick up pixels. It's 22 inches
of
1080p.
You lean right up and right onto it, for sure.
So but that's an easy iteration I think they can make. That would be fun. We have no news about that, but I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just, you know, good solid Chromebooks is what we want to see across the board. We just want to see.
We're getting to this point where we have some really, really great devices that are out. Like, not that we've reached peak Chromebooks so much, or we've talked about, is there the perfect Chromebook? Like, no.
I just don't think there is.
But, like, just iterate and keep putting out great devices. We have some great devices that are out on the market right now. Yeah. And just keep iterating and updating and you know, as the market matures, there's going to be more and more people that are wanting a nice device.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that it has to be $1,000 device. Like, nice devices even in that lower end. And we've talked about that with the affordable space and all of that.
That's the place I think that just it will continue to evolve. And we're seeing that with that Lenovo Chromebook.
Yeah, the Lenovo's a good example. Yeah.
You're elevating just a little bit, not huge, but you're elevating that lower end of the market. And so the same thing needs to happen with the mid-range. Like, the mid-range Chromebooks can be so close to being like, this is fantastic and just so good. These couple little tweaks that shouldn't cost that much. It's just being considerate.
Thoughtful.
Like, think about what you're doing when you build these pieces of hardware. And you can build, I'm telling you, they could build and sell these just class-leading Chromebooks for probably $700, $800.
Right.
Maybe even $600.
Really good.
Like, not just that's okay. It has some, you know, hiccups in it, but like, this is exceptional.
Right.
This is an exceptional Chromebook. Like, it is. We're getting closer to that. I think that's where the market needs to move to.
Yeah. So stay tuned. I mean, we're going to be posting a lot of content, obviously, on the website, chromeunboxed.com.
chromeunboxed.com.
chromeunboxed.com. ChromeInbox.com. But also, we are definitely going to be leaning into some YouTube shorts while we're out there.
Yeah.
And generating some short form content. So make sure to be following along over on YouTube as well. And on social media. I'm sure we're going to be posting some stuff on Instagram stories and different things. So follow along at ChromeInbox on all the social stuff, ChromeInbox.com. And we're really excited to go out there and be in person in Vegas.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting, but we're excited, so stay tuned. But that's it for this week. We appreciate you all tuning in and listening and watching. If you are watching, make sure to give us a thumbs up.
Yep.
Go down there and click subscribe.
Yes.
And ring the bells.
Just the one. It's here.
Just ring the bells. It does have like the little icon on the side too. It's just the bell ringing, yeah. But you could argue there's multiple bells. All right. We'll catch you all next week. See ya.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunbox.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.